Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
It is your gift to walk the earth. Every step you must remember this. She was born in a storm of sacred fire. With love, direction, divine perfection, stir the elements.
And hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from beautiful Florida, and with me is my charming co-host.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. This is Reverend Lori B. from North Carolina, the Yankee in the South.
And you're listening to the Corellian Family Hour. And we have just been listening to a lovely piece of music. And what was that music?
That was Ginger Doss, Gaia Lives, from the Green Album.
It was very lovely. And tonight we are going to be talking about the anniversary of the founding of the Crystal Web. And the Crystal Web was founded on 8-8 of 88. That is to say, August 8th of 1988, which has been a couple of years ago. And we have a number of special guests joining us for this conversation. And they include Lady Stephanie, Reverend Mike, Reverend Mike Neal, Ed Hubbard, and I believe Marianne Kay, if she has joined us yet. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So, I'm not sure that everyone has joined us, but we have enough to start. And so, the Crystal Web. Hello.
Is Ed with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely here.
So, the Crystal Web is a web created through crystals and energy. It is its own set of ley lines, basically, and meridians. And it's all over the world. It was created first, as we are saying, in August 8th of 88, in connection with the harmonic convergence that occurred at that time. And it also ties into older practices of burying crystals as anchors for magic. Ed, tell us about the founding of the web.
Well, for me, one of the biggest things that was happening at the time, and people don't remember this a lot, but the harmonic convergence was happening. It was a period of time. What we would be calling the New Age shortly would be really emerging. And basically, what for me was the idea that I love the idea of telepathy. I love the idea of crystal energy. And I was very much into my Atlantean phase. What do I mean by the Atlantean phase? I mean, Atlantis is really, people were looking for Atlantis. We kind of given up on the search now. People don't talk about it, but in the 70s, that was our big thing. And one of the biggest essence of it was this idea of crystal magic, that they were using crystals for libraries. They were using crystals everywhere. And at that time, for me, personally, I, with my family, started burying crystals because we had this strong feeling that we could attune them, and if we lay down the ley lines, we would avoid the coming storm that was always forming in our lives. What do I mean by the storm? Same one I still think is coming at us, the idea of the human condition of negative energy. And it was originally the idea was is to create this idea, and we would play with it for a while, of increasing the amount of energy of the world to increase the amount of communication. And little do we know that simultaneously, almost simultaneously, the computer would be emerging to create the World Wide Web, which was kind of the part of the vision that we saw. So they kind of grew together. And that's how it got started. We started burying crystals. And where we buried our first crystal? I buried my first Cricket Hill, Montrose Harbor, Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it at 8 a.m. So.
And was that by yourself, or is that with Lady Wendy and a group of people?
No. That was me. I didn't know any of these people yet. Okay, so you have to understand. At that point in time, I knew none of these people. I didn't know Don yet. I had not yet met Tracy. I had not yet met anybody.
It was literally several years later.
According to the history, the written history so far, is that there was a spiritualist minister, Reverend Eleanor Ursula Royce, would introduce both of you to each other, and mm-hmm. then the fun began.
Right.
Yes. Eleanor was a great lady, and she was
yep.
responsible for bringing us together and for bringing together the Newcastle Society and the Corellian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the
so,
web
yeah.
itself was originally with the Newcastle Society.
Wonderful. And by
but
the way, everyone,
earlier,
Marianne is with us now.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
So, no, but yeah, to answer the question, so the crystal web, my version of it, and Don was also working on a parallel thing. This is one of the things we would find out later. They kind of paralleled it, but no, when I began it, I was looking for something very, very particular, something I'm still searching for to this very day of my life, and that's telepathy, true understanding of telepathy, and that we're entering into a telepathic age. It would be one of those funny things, because one of the predictions would be is I would be able to communicate with people all over the world. What really? Personally, as if we're speaking mind to mind. If that isn't that was, and if that's not AOL Messenger, now Facebook Messenger, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was both a scientist, but I was also this sort of idea of being psychic. And I started working on this idea. Crystal web wasn't started as a magical construction. It was my attempt to see if it was a magical construction that actually had real science behind it. That's an important element of it. The crystal web is actually steeped deeply in a deeper, larger scientific experiment of developing psychic energy and finding the psychic energy that's in the world. I was deeply influenced by the Stanford test and everything else, and I still am after that. If you ever ask whatever drove Ed into paganism, it was the search for telepathy, my search for God. And the crystal web was a key component of it, because if I believed, and Don agreed with me at the time when I would meet him and other people would do, if we had enough crystals planted in enough locations and enough people were involved with it, we would be starting to see telepathic effects. And did that happen? Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. You can talk about that more. But did it happen? Yeah, I can tell you there have been real effects. But that was the original premise right there.
Wonderful. There's so many things with all the anniversaries coming up and all the stories being told that are just fascinating.
Well, there are a lot of aspects of the history being told that many people would not remember. We've been doing a series on the foundation of Witch School, which has yet to get to the actual foundation, but has been going through all the many things that led up to it. And I would think that a lot of people would not have been aware of many of those things.
Not at all.
Well, I think the crystal
and
web...
And it's not that it's never been written about anywhere, but still.
I think the crystal web in and of itself, by the time it got to the public, by the time Witch School existed, it had already been in existence for 12 years. It had already gone through its telepathic radio phase. It would go through building two receivers, transmitters that would actually tie it into a live radio show, Psyche Chicago Radio and Telepathic Radio. So there are devices that were built for the crystal web that people have probably never seen. Most people don't even know they exist. One is the original telepathic radio broadcasting. So the idea of the crystal web is a very simple one. First of all, do you believe imagination exists? Do you think that imagination is real? So the answer for most people, though, is the first thing they say is no. And that's the wrong assumption, because imagination is real. We couldn't have a word for it. We can't practice it. We can't do anything with it. What is an imagination? The ability to see actions and consequences of your choice. That's all it is. It is your ability to visualize. That's all imagination is. It's real. Imagination is real. What we think in our imaginations may not be. This is always the problem. But every scientific discovery, every truth we've ever had, every talk with God, every talk with Goddess, everything we've ever done starts in our imagination. We imagined how we would do this. We imagined how we talked to people. You did it as a kid. When you were going to date that first boy or that first girl, you had a conversation with that person long before you ever met them or talked with them. And when you talked with them, yeah, it didn't go as well as your imagination told you, but it happened because it's rooted there. The search for DNA came out of the imagination of the person while he was dreaming. Everything that you look around you starts in the imagination. If you can accept the premise, which is the truth, that all truths begin in your imagination, that imagination is a real thing, and that it has real power to change the world. In fact, it is the only skill that you have that can absolutely change the world. Everything else is all based on the fact that you can execute your imagination, your thoughts. That's where the crystal web was born. It is born in that space where the imagination makes everything possible.
Yeah, this is Mike. I understand, you know, what you're saying about that, and I kind of look at it as becoming the physical manifestation of basically the earth taking our imagination as we plant. Well, we're physically planting crystals, but then the earth taking over and creating the web, so to speak, the lines, the connections and all that, much like how the human brain, if someone suffers a stroke and maybe it shuts down one section of blood flow to the brain, well, through the miracle of the body, it creates new pathways. And just as the magic or the imagination of planting the crystals, it's like the earth is this huge brain, and it's then getting the connections from one to the other. And to me, with all that ley lines and with, you know, there are natural ley lines, but the crystal web is adding to that, is enhancing it. And just like as that energy flows through the globe, around the lands, through the waters and all that, it awakens people up too. It's sort of, if someone is seeking for a closer understanding of the universe, of deity, I think if they're open to listening, that the crystal web aids that as well. It helps to direct them, helps them to move them along, so to speak, as they are drawn to it.
I think you couldn't. That was really well said, Mike.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
So the crystal web became, inside the Corellian, I think it's something else. I think it's a collective will. So when you leave your imagination, you have to take your will, like you said. Mike said it really well. Real crystals are being planted. Real ideas are going into it. Real thought is going into it. And more importantly, real energy is going into it. And we all know energy can only be shifted, even mental thought. So, and that's where I think where my story ends, is where Don's begins, where all the Corellians begin, Wendy's begin. So for me, the whole part of it, and still is to this day, is the idea of getting this sort of self-healing, as Mike puts it out, mind that I'm looking at, and sort of collective mind. What the crystal web has become, though, is something amazingly more effective, amazingly stronger. And that is more of the Corellian story than it is necessarily even my original science, my harmonic conversion, my crystals. And Don's prayers, Don's spiritualist. So one of the very first times we knew we were onto something, so the Mars was coming close, particularly Earth to Earth. This was 94. And Don and I ran down to Danville. I had my son and my daughter with me. And we planted crystals on a space under the hill. And we actually had a reporter reporting on it. It was the first time we actually had a reporter reporting on it. And we didn't know how he really found out. We never to this day really found out how he found it. He called us and got a report on it right after we had done it. Pre-internet days. And that was our first real moment. If you want to know a moment where you can't explain it, but this person got a connection with us because of the crystal web. We felt like the crystals, these were communication. We were capturing that first really hard planetary energy. So after we did Gaia, after we did the harmonic convergence, we did Mars. Mars was our first planetary energy, a Mars eclipse, a Mars kind of piece out there.
Mars attunement.
A Mars attunement came in, and then we had it, and a reporter followed us, came into the story. Like, boom, there we go. We're talking about it.
Things did align themselves very interestingly, but then they do. It's interesting how many people don't. I think everybody in their lives must have examples of this, but it's amazing how often people don't see it. But things do align themselves. And, you know, the energy does bring things to pass. And there can be totally unexpected happenings and connections because of what you've done with the energy. And the crystal web carries an awful lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, someone had a question of how many crystals are in the crystal web. And I have no ultimate idea.
Well, I guess we would only know if people actually call or send in.
Well, we only know the ones they tell us about. But of the people here, the person who would have the closest answer to that is Mary Ann.
You
off
know,
the top
I don't
of your head,
really
Mary
know. Go to the map. I'm trying to find the link for the map right now.
Mm-hmm. Mary Ann created a map of the crystal web some years ago.
And I will, when I find it, I will, if you go to the Facebook page of the Great Crystal Web, there's a link to the map. And if you go to the map, then it gives you every, on the side, it gives you every location that I've added to the map. And I think at the bottom it tells you how many there are. And I, and that's, some of those are like there's multiples in one place and so forth. I will do some investigating while you guys are talking and see if I can come up with an answer.
Because
thank
I'm
you,
not Marianne. Did you say that there's a Facebook group for the Crystal Web, the Great Crystal Web?
Yes, or there is.
There is.
Yes, there is.
Well, then I think
it's,
we need to
Facebook.com/Great Crystal Web. I think.
Is it open?
We were aware of that.
Yes, regular fan page. It's been there since, it's been there eight, six, 7 years.
It's
yeah.
been there a good time.
It probably
you
is.
Know,
so,
I'm going to post that link.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I'm
excellent.
Not, Lloyd Don did not that for me. I'm going to have to go to my other computer because
I have the map up.
And let me
I
see.
Do have
if
the
I
map
go
up.
To it all the time. It is, I'm sorry, it's facebook.com/crystal web.
Just crystal web.
Just crystal web, yeah.
So I have the map up, and it
and
has 310 locations.
I'm sorry?
So that's...
there's many more than
sure. Yes. There's many, many, many more than that.
Well, here's what the big thing
is. Well, the problem
is.
Has always been getting people to tell us.
So, personally, I've done some amazing layouts. Me and Don have done some amazing layouts. I'm probably the person who's probably done the largest layouts in the world. My last layout was just a year ago, a little less than a year ago. And
oh, wow.
I laid out, yeah, absolutely. And almost nobody knew I did it, too. And to this day, most people don't know my layout. That was Salt Lake City, Utah. I laid it out into my Parliament layout. And got certain people crystals and certain things like that. So my last layout was at the Parliament of World Religions. And there I laid down 144 crystals around the city. It's traditional. I've done this for Salem. I've done this for Chicago. I've done this in a number of cities. When I go everywhere I've gone to the Parliament, there's 144 crystals that have been around the Parliament. Cape Town, South Africa,
wow.
Melbourne. Always dedicated to the Parliament. They're always laid down there. I did that. I did that in Salt Lake City, too. Usually the path I walk. And it's just something that I've always done. It's a weird obsession, trust me. And it's usually a mixture of amethyst, citrine, lots of quartz crystals, more than half of it. Occasionally pieces of stone, other types of stone. that I had. And then in the Parliament, when I had Parliament, was obviously I had a lot of blood stumps. I'd laid down blood stumps. And then I gave away crystals to certain individuals along the way that they just took them and they added them to their sets of crystals. So for me, I probably have laid down 200, 300 pounds of crystals across the world, probably tens of thousands.
Wow.
But this has been my
So is there a significance to the 144? Like you're doing a whole group at a time?
Yes, because of the fact that basically it's magical in the sense of at one time, this was rooted when I was mostly Christian. Okay? I was deeply Christian at the time that I laid this. I was at the end of my New Age Christianity. I was a Gaiaist. I was, you know, I knew I loved Mother Earth. I knew all of this. And I was pleading for something to take hold of. I wanted God to take hold of my life. I wanted God to take hold of my life and make a difference. And I believed in this idea of telepathy. I believed I was a 1 Corinthians 12 Christian after coming out of a deeply fundamentalist background. If you don't know what it is, look it up. First Corinthians 12 Christian. Believe in gifts. And this was my first attempt to start developing my gifts, my belief. And I laid down the crystals, and I thought I would be, I would learn how to think like God. I would learn how to have telepathy. That I would learn how to do clairvoyance, clairpsychic. Little did I know that that was not the gift that I was going to be given. Crystal Webb brought out the one gift that I was given, and it's self-evident when everybody sees it. But understand, the Crystal Webb particularly was built to develop people's gifts. And that's what the significance of 144 is, 12 tribes of 12 crystals, 12 times the zodiac, 12 times around the thing. Every crystal matches both a astrological sign for the year and a Chinese zodiac symbol of the year. So it's 12 and 12. It goes larger than part of the 2012 and December 12, 20 thing, because it has a 26,000 year rhythm. This is deeply based, my layouts are deeply based on time magic. Make no bones about it. I just say these are synchronizations and time magic in which I try to reach back to other cultures that have practiced these sort of time magic so that I can have some sort of sense of who I was and what I will be. The pursuit of the Dalai Lama's reincarnational sciences took us into the Crystal Web because I absolutely believe we need grounded space, grounded places that we can go to with these triggers so that we can remember who we were. And so my largest part of the experiment, the one that I have not yet carried out, someday, I'm hoping that I have gone back to Atlantis and started laying down the crystals, and I will find my Atlantean crystals that I will have laid sometime when I've traveled back there. That's the final, my final definition of the experiment. Yes. And then we'll find these crystals, and then we'll know that they're mine.
Right.
That's the final end. That's my end of the experiment. We have not reached it yet. We're not even close. But we're in deep into it. Ghost effects people have had where they've seen spirits around these crystals. All sorts of effects are there, and this is deeply rooted into the idea that astrology, Mayan, spirit, all of this, that there is part of the universe that is very, very computer-like, and that God and goddess have a way of just allowing things to happen. All we have to do is ask for it. And like Mike said, these are people planting crystals, and this is a real mind. This is a real thing. People are really asking for something. And deeply rooted in my old Christian philosophy, is if you have three together, this is a church. You have called me. When I was taught magic, they kept talking about Covenant 13. But Donald Cole Schultz said to me, when do you have a covenant? He says, when you're three of you are together, you are a covenant. You are a trinity. And so that starts it. So that's where we began. So when Don and I, and at the time, let me talk about it, was Chris, who was working on this with me, started doing this, we started having effects. And that's been the way it's been ever since.
Wonderful.
Now, at the school, there is a class called the Crystal Web User's Manual, which talks about a lot of ways of interacting with the web, how to use geometric magic with the web, how to create access points and distant access points, and a lot of different ways of interacting with the web beyond the rudimentary one. And people who listen to our rituals here at the Corellian Family Hour will notice that we normally do open and send energy into the web at each one.
Yes.
So they will have some familiarity with that. We don't tend to do more complicated things during the rituals, though.
And there's probably more than likely a chart for different types of stones and their meanings so that you can select and with the shapes and the magical shapes, there's probably a chart there talking about each shape, you know, what the circle means, or the sphere or the tetrahedron or the pyramid.
Yes. And they each provoke a different kind of energetic response. And they all have application to how energy is focused through the web.
Yes. And the purpose is continue to grow what Ed had inferred, not inferred, but clearly pointed out, that all these vast purposes that deeper purposes are still going on, and yet as that work is being done, there's still so many other purposes for the tradition, and that we work with the crystal web on a very regular basis, and as individuals, as Mike brought up, but the way Ed was describing the much grander, vaster precept to kick off the whole discussion about imagination, that really is, you know, the core that you can glean so much from, yet it seems on the surface such a simple precept, but it's not. It's so...
You know, people live with imagination their whole lives.
Yeah.
Therefore, they take it for granted.
Yeah.
They don't realize what it's doing. But energy reacts to thought and to emotion, which are shaped through the imagination. Or if you prefer to put it that way, through visualization, through focus. But it all comes down to the same thing. And we do this all the time, whether we know it or not. And I often say learning magic is only learning how to do consciously what you already are doing unconsciously. And people's imagination in shaping that energy is a very powerful tool that they usually are not aware that they have, and often is being used in very chaotic ways because they don't understand it does that.
Right.
Taking control of that ability, learning to focus it where you want it, and therefore focusing the energy where you want it, is a very powerful thing. The crystal web is a major tool for focusing that energy as well. Looking at the map that Marianne created, we see that most of the crystal web points are in North America, in the U.S., and Canada. There are some that we see also in the Caribbean and Central America, but there are more than show. But the thing is, without the exact coordinates, they cannot be added to the map.
Okay.
There is one shown in South America, but I'm pretty sure that there are quite a few more than that in South America.
Right.
In Australia, it's mostly on the eastern side. I believe that is pretty accurate. There are points in New Zealand. I see Japan. I see nothing in China or Russia, but that doesn't surprise me. We really don't have a presence there to speak of, although there are a few people. There are none shown in India, but I'm pretty sure that there are crystal access points in India.
What I found
mostly in the southern part of Africa.
Was Iraq. Is that Iraq that it's pointing to? Is there a point in Iraq?
And,
you can zoom in on the map.
Yes.
And the Google Map, yeah.
Okay, I see it now. I think that's amazing.
Well, I really believe that there are so many more that people have planted, either through, it may have been people who were like at the parliament and there was a program done in which a talk was about the crystal web and people could leave with their crystals. Whether they ever...
Yeah.
turned in the coordinates. You know, that's
right.
In the U.S., but I have to – we have such a strong presence within Latin America and all that with the Krillian tradition that people have heard about it. They just may not have turned them in, you know, because I look at the map and all of South America, one in – is that Argentina?
So
it's on the borderline.
El Salvador.
El Salvador.
It's Uruguay.
I think Marianne did an amazing job extracting.
Okay, Uruguay, yeah.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, really.
I think people are very protective. I think people are scared to share them. They don't want them dug up. They're always scared. One of the things that works against the crystal web terribly is the fear of it. Fear of it being taken away from them. Once you know about it, you don't want to lose it, do you? And one of the things in our predatorial society, because we're alpha predators, let's be honest. Gaia built us to be alpha predators. What is the thing we do? What we possess? We protect it.
Right.
And we only share it when it's safe. We're happy to show our crystals in our house. But do you really want to tell your friends you got crystals buried in the woods and that they might come and dig them up and steal your magic? That's a very old animalistic thought that we still live with because we are still working on this very level. And the crystal web for me, when I'm in the woods where I'm at, it brings me down to that level. It gives me the thought, not what would my ancestor think, but let me think like my ancestor did. And if I had a magical rock and I buried it in the ground to protect it and know where it is and I can use its energy, isn't there some level of primitive in me that would want to protect that? And would I want to tell people about it?
That makes sense.
I'd only want to tell my tribe. So I've only told my tribe about the crystal web.
So I guess we can proudly say we don't know.
I'm sure we can proudly say that there are many more than we actually have the coordinates for.
Right, yes.
And in some cases, we're aware of them. In some cases, we're not. People don't always tell us that they've done this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we made the instructions available to pretty much anyone who wants to be part of it. And they don't have to tell us that they've done it or where they've put it in order to link it in. And so I'm sure that there are far more than we will ever know about that have become involved in it. But when you open it and when it's actually directed, it's a tremendous amount of energy.
Yes.
The other thing that I would say is that it's created from crystals, but it is an energetic construct. And that energetic construct takes on its own reality.
Now, Stephanie and Mike have something in their temple. Go ahead, finish what you were thinking, but it just pointed out to me. I just realized, I was just thinking about where is the generator? Where is the original pieces? I think they're over at the temple.
There's a master control center at Sacred Sea, a master access point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are still master access points in Illinois.
Oh, absolutely.
And under the hill, there is still one, and Cricket Hill still has one, unless it's been. I'm not sure what the status of Cricket Hill is anymore. I've not been there for years.
It's surrounded by soccer fields. Oh, absolutely. It's almost flat now. It's almost flat land. The hill has dropped so much. It's almost flat land now. Yeah. It was a landfill. Originally, it was a landfill.
Wow.
So it's settled.
Yes,
the
Lady
Kai
is in the chat room, and she said, yes, hers are not shown. So there are more
and a lot are like
just
that.
In the United States alone that we don't know about. So the first Karelians that planted, I mean, all of you together as Karelians on August 8th, 1988, planted how many crystals? Do we know?
Well, that was the Newcastle Society.
We planted 7 crystals.
Okay, and that was with Lady Wendy... In Lincoln Park?
That was before the Newcastle Society became associated with the Karelian tradition.
Okay. Really fast explanation. I started my magical career out of a series of bizarre events, of which I thought I became a Baptist spy for the Christian church into the pagan world. True story. Absolute truth. And in that process, I met Donna Cole Schultz years later, and she turned me instantly into realizing that I wanted to be a witch. I wanted to be a Wiccan.
Right.
So, yes. So I went from being God's spy to Gaia's son. Actually, Eris' son, but we won't, son, but we won't talk about that right now. But
okay.
Yeah. And her mercy and everything else. And her temple was a temple of sacred stones. And I was drawn there. The first ritual as Corellians we did was the Mars Attunement. And that was Don, Lady Crystal, and that group. And that would be almost 3 years. That would be like, I think, 92, 93, right in that area. I'd have to look it up.
I can do that.
Okay. But that's when it was. Awesome. That's when it moved from the Newcastle Society. So Newcastle Society had only one goal in life, okay? And that was the my belief in the apocalypse was dying. And the Newcastle Society, I believe the apocalypse was coming. Absolutely committed to it. Not only did I believe in it, I was committed into it, and I was going to be a warrior, a mystic warrior at the front. Yeah. So when you talk about things that people believe, this is what I believed. I came out of my church.
Okay.
I was going to interview in the pagan world. I was going to get there. I was going to find their council of witches, and I was going to reveal them to the world. And that was my promise to God at 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now look.
And now look at you.
And I did it. And I carried out my promise in front of God at the Parliament of World Religions when I showed them the council of witches that I knew. Those garage.
You are absolutely correct.
Stephanie Nia, I fulfilled my. So why do you think I was so happy at the problem? I fulfilled my promise to God.
As a non-Christian, as a non-Christian. Right?
Yeah, that's been a big argument. I started in this 1 Corinthians 12, so it's not that I deny God; I just deny Christian religion. So
yeah.
I mean, I guess in this sense, I'm not a Christian. There's no way you could call me the Christian. So, but I don't want to be insultive of those people who are practicing it. But I do not believe in the Christianity that is being practiced today by the vast majority of churches. I grew up in it. I know what it's about. And I don't believe in that. But I do believe there are good people who do good things and are Christians. Absolutely. Marianne's mother.
There are good and bad in everyone and everything.
Right. Helen was a great Christian. I mean, she was a great Christian, yet she loved me. Then Marianne introduced me. I loved her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, Marianne? Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so,
and,
how
know,
did
so,
someone create a crystal web access point?
Oh, Don's good at this.
He's done a few.
See the video.
There are several videos that
there
talk about
one.
How to do it.
There's quite a few steps.
In December.
But let's make this simple.
Learn to do it.
Yeah.
Is through one of those videos or written instructions, because there are several steps to it. But basically, it's channeling energy through yourself into the crystal and charging it for its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it that way, it doesn't sound so complicated.
No. Let me
and
go ahead
and
everything.
It does involve geometric magic, and the way that the crystals are activated is through the manipulation of geometric magic. But you can find the description of how to do this in a variety of places, but you can find it at corellian.com/crystalweb.htm.
I just put it out there. And what exactly is the attunement time?
What do you mean?
Well, in the directions.
Dig
your hole before the attunement time.
On several occasions over the years, we've done mass attunement that had a particular time. As far as a person creating their own access point, they could choose whatever time they wanted. But you want to prepare your hole before you actually use it, because you do bury the crystal.
Yes.
We had major attunements for a number of solar eclipses, for a couple of different alignments of Mars. There was a lunar eclipse some years ago that we did a mass attunement for, and it's not been unusual in the course of these many years to try to do a tradition-wide crystal web attunement. But that is certainly not the only time you can create an access point. You could create it at any time.
Okay.
And the video you can find, well, it has a very long URL.
Yeah, videos, if you go to the social site and look for the Crystal Web group, the video is listed in there. That's probably the easiest way to say where it is.
It's entitled How to Make a Crystal Web Access Point.
Beautiful.
And I remember from the lustration a few years back, when we did it, we filmed that. I don't know if it was ever put up on TV, ritual.
It was.
On Magic TV. Actually, there are several different depictions of crystal web attunements on Magic TV if you go and look for them. But you have to search through the videos to find them, and I would say the best way to do that is either the word crystal or crystal web as a single word.
Okay. So, Lady Steph,
and it should give
you
the different videos.
Okay. Lady Steph, you have a bunch of notes on the history. Would you like to share them?
Oh, on the history. Okay, let me flip to there real quick. All right. Well, it essentially, you know, talks about how Eleanor introduced both Ed and Don together. Then when Ed Hubbard and many of his members of the Newcastle Society joined the Krillian tradition, and then it has on the side, in stages between 1590 and 1592 Pisces. So that's interesting right there, that I guess people took their time to decide if they really wanted to be part of it. I mean, I don't know why. It was just interesting why they say in stages that people joined the tradition. And then I like how it was called that this group, the Newcastle Society, brought with them many cutting-edge ideas, including the crystal web. And so I assume that's when Don and Ed started to discuss how it was going to be further developed and how and the whys and the wheres and all that. Let's see. Go ahead.
Me and Don, Totem Cartoon is thinking in the brain. And that's how to break that.
Okay.
Okay, so our stages, it was all about these ideas. Me and Don, just when we met, just shared these ideas. I had this hardcore science, hardcore psychic, hardcore, fuck God. We know he's out there, but really we got to solve these problems ourselves. And, I blew up. Remember, still at this point, I still believe the devil was kind of coming. Okay? This is something I would give up. The paganism, for me to become a pagan, I would have to give up the apocalypse. And I'm not sure that I've done that yet. So let me be honest with you. I don't know that
Well, the recent campaign cycle does raise questions.
And anyone who's been... But for stages, we had two things happen. One, I met Don, and Don had to be... He had to get his health back. As Don got his health back, we started joining him in more and more ways. And it was about building trust. What that was a two-year exercise was, did we have compatible ideas? Just because me and Don got along doesn't mean the rest of us did. And my that group were the likeliest people. We were Chicago brats. We were the magicians of the street. We were the Mirror Society. to the Newcastle Society, we were knights in leather armor. But we carried the thommies, and they weren't for a joke. Understand that. And Don is not anything like that. So it was very hard for us to accept something that had a lot more knowledge than we did. And Don came around to realizing how much bloody skill we had. And it was this sort of took about 2 years for us to really kind of trust each other enough for us to take an initiation. The end of that in stages was us learning the lesson. It took us 2 years to learn the lesson because Don didn't make it any easier on us than he's made it on any of you.
Right.
It's just the rules.
Well, this note makes sense then, what you're just saying now. It says, the raw-edged, ambitious Newcastle Society.
Mm-hmm. That does kind of describe them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were going to prove magic works. We were going to prove it's real. We were going to go ahead and turn the world on its head. We were going to make magic happen. We were going to make it real. We were going to make it tangible. And all of our Christian practices, all of our practices in the OTO, remember we were already in there, our practices as chaos magicians, all of that stuff that we had already done for years, wasn't working. And so Don came along with paganism, but more importantly, Wicca. I didn't learn paganism first. I learned Wicca first. This is something else. And I learned Corellianism. And at the same time, to be perfectly honest, the other thing that was happening was I was getting my Gardnerian degree simultaneously. That was one of the other things. And I was having a battle between the two temples. And eventually, they would both accept that I could, you know, Don never said it. And more importantly, Don wasn't as charged as Crystal was. I remember Crystal was awesome in her day. I mean, she's still awesome, but she was like a raw force. I mean,
ooh.
Don made me feel like a comfortable person, but when I saw Crystal, I went down to my knees. And I was like, wow, she wanted to read me. And instead, she said, why don't you come down here and sit next to me? And I didn't sit next to her. Being a knight, I stood and I bowed properly. And then she was somebody I bowed to very quickly. It was, and so did the other knights. So remember, this was knighthood. I mean, this is where the paladins come from. This is what it is. I am a warrior of God. People forget this. I'm a Gaia's warrior. I'm a warrior, first and foremost, whenever every part of my magic. And so was this when we joined with the time with Don. Don wasn't a warrior. Don was a leader. That was the difference. And this is why I'm not in charge of the Corellian tradition. Everybody asks, why aren't you in charge of the Corellian tradition? I'm no leader. I am a warrior. I'm Don's warrior. I am the tradition's warrior. The warriors break things. We change things. We don't build things. We make room for things. We get things built, right? But after a little while, we were going to say, what can we build, break, or expand into? This is why it's always been important that the crystal web has always been that sort of expansionary energy. Where can we expand into? What can we do next? How can we be better at this? The innate part of our will is how do we get better as human beings? How do we get better as crystal warriors? How do we get better as crystal healers? Because all of these skills are needed.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I stimulate
that? But one
that?
Of the things that has set us apart, mm-hmm. well, two of the things that sets us apart that you've emphasized, one, we do believe there's room for all kinds of different roles. And so many branches of pagan religion just have one cookie cutter that you can be. And we've always felt there's room for many different paths, many different specialties, many different ways of experiencing. And the other is we've always believed in growing it. It's about expanding the abilities. It's about expanding the knowledge. It's not just about sitting here and reading the same book over and over. It's about making bigger books and bigger experiences. And the web, if you think about it, is kind of symptomatic of that because it is gigantic, and it connects the individual very graphically to the larger energetic network, which is very much what we've always sought to do at all levels.
So that's the answer on stages. And let me say, the stages continue. Every time we have a conversation, the conversation continues. Newcastle Society, the Corellian tradition, Howling Ivory Temples. My conversations with Stephanie and Mike, all of my conversations inside the tradition has always been about how do we get to do this crystal web better?
Yes.
Because So if you ever want to look back, if you want to look back over my ministry, it's always been about this crystal web. That's why it's always been in stages, and why we do things in stages. It continued with so many parts of it, and the crystal web is absolutely the construction, the sort of method of construction that I've used, but Don and other people have used to kind of maintain that large scale magic that we're playing with, because none of us think we can hold it all by ourselves. So back to your notes. I'm so sorry, Stephanie, but I just wanted to.
Oh no, I was hoping that you would clarify that, and that just brings more color to the situation, to the whole discussion. And the only thing I had regarding the history in the notes is what you had already discussed about the 90s. That it talks about master access points being planted and created both in Chicago and Danville, Illinois. So that's pretty much that you'd already talked about that. And so, I mean, just talking about history, that's all I have here for that.
Well, and that was Sears Tower, on the 88th floor of the Sears Tower, there's a crystal web actually built into it. But I was working in the law firm at that time. They had construction. They tore up a floor and the Sears Tower. And they did. It was facing the east side. It was facing the lake side. And I got in there really early in the morning. They were about to lay concrete. I put those crystals on and watched them be laid on the floor of the 88th, looking out the eastern window of the Sears Tower.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so you want to ask about – you talked about a master access point, and that floor has never been dug up again. I've gone back there. It was a major repair they were doing. They were actually rebuilding part of it, and I got there and did that. The bean, when they was in construction, I would sneak into there and put a bunch of crystals inside the bean, the cloud, downtown. So I had this notorious habit of sneaking crystals into places and hiding them. This is like one of my little obsessions. I did them in a couple of places. I got one of my crystals accepted into the Field Museum through a curator. They put them into the collection. So... yeah, that's crazy things like that. So, and so you talk about the master access point. I was obsessed with getting the crystals in as many places as I could. Sidewalks that were being no sidewalk that had wet cement was safe. Just wasn't.
Wow.
I've watched for these things. There are road construction in Chicago. Over where I lived, over at Six Corners, they dug up the entire road. Don, me, a lot of the. The crystals were going and went out there where they tore the entire intersection up. It was down to bare rock. We had all these granular crystals. I don't know if you know what I mean. They're like pieces of crystals. They're like coming at the bottom of a big bag of crystals. It's like
Yeah.
We charged that up. We did this on a Halloween night. They were doing this construction. We knew that they were about to, seal the street up. And we went out there. It was a little bit, about 2 weeks before Halloween. I think it was right around the 13th or 14th. Was our 2 minutes. And we laid a few crystals around it, but we laid this dust all over it. And the day later, they came in and filled it all over. That was right outside our old headquarters. So what do we mean by master access points? Anything we can imagine, we can put crystals in. There are crystals at Laval Woods, which is one of the most haunted places. We actually cut holes. This was one of our members' big obsessions, David. Knight David loved putting crystals in trees. And so we put there was a time probably – for about 2 years, we probably put in more than 200-300 trees that got crystals in them somewhere in the Chicago area. How many of them are still standing? I would have to really go look, but I guarantee some of them are still standing. That's what we meant about the 90s, okay? So that's what you mean by the access point.
Those are some really great ideas for people that are looking to, well, where would I plant a crystal that I know it won't be dug up, or if I move, I don't have to worry. Construction sites are an awesome place. Your street being ripped up, your sidewalk being repaired, anywhere on your block in your neighborhood, that's fantastic, Ed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I mean, Don's known about this dirty little secret. I mean, it is like what I tell him. I mean, I tell people I do that. I don't really admit to these things in public. Is this guy like, what? You laid crystals out there? You buried something in my building? I don't know what it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things that has happened, so the crystal web has been really buried, but one of the things I think about, I think about it, is it's also come above ground. And one of the things that, let me tell you, one of the things that really changed with Witch School, and Marianne brought up throughout this time, we started to have more and more crystals that people carried. She made these wonderful set of crystals that she carried, that she hung from her that she hung from a car. My Mystic Gems, she's done from a lot of her crystal business and everything else, but she started to give us, and other people of war started wearing jewelry. So a lot of jewelry has been in change. So if you want to talk about where it goes from there, now we talk about all the buried crystals. And I'm telling you, there are some really awesome buried crystals in awesome places. And, you know, one attunement, I'm just begging, and I'm begging and pleading, right? So there is one attunement that's still out there that's still active, and I'm still worried about it. It was to protect our president from assassination. It was carried out. We had added to the crystal web, and Carolyn Kenner and a lot of these people did it. We added our energies. We had kits that went out to people, and people had attuned crystals. We brought a huge batch of attunement, and it was for the sole purpose. And if you ever remember what that attunement was of the crystal web, it was to protect this president from being killed in office. Our vision was to have him come out of office alive. Not what was he going to do, not anything else, only one clear prerogative. You want to know somewhere where we use crystal magic to put a protection over somebody. It was the President of the United States. Now you can say
wow.
Secret Service did it. You can say all of that. And this is on film. You can go see the film. The film's right there. I mean, we've got film record. It was one of the biggest magic TV things we did at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crystal web attunement that we brought into the whole nation was involved.
Wow.
We threw crystals into that river. We had a big crystal right there in the Jefferson Park River. That's for that. And that Jefferson and those tributes. We got almost in trouble. Actually, Carolyn did get kind of in trouble for putting crystals in the water. They were really mad at her for doing this. Yeah, so you want to talk about a big moment of crystal? You want to talk about what an attunement is? That was an attunement, and it was for a particular purpose. And knock on wood, a couple more
months.
That's
perfect. That's wonderful. That's right. That was a lot of forethought.
And it stopped. Well. So when you... Yeah.
Even at the start of this administration, it was clear how much hatred there was in certain quarters.
Still is,
and still is, and I've been totally shocked by some of the things that have taken place in recent years. In fact, that it seems to be getting worse in many cases, not better. Although I suppose that's what happens sometimes, but. I like to think that a lot of the poison is being released, but we'll see what happens.
I agree.
But that's one of the purposes of things like the crystal web, to help shape the energy, to help shape the future.
Right.
And to help, hopefully, to build a better one. So I see we've come to the end of our hour, and this has been quite
already?
An interesting discussion. Yeah, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Okay, I just have one more question. When everyone goes on vacation, and I already know this is going to be a yes for Ed, do you think about taking a crystal with you and burying it where you're going?
Yes.
Beautiful.
I have a little baggie with those. You can get these crystals that are so... They're almost like shards, but they're really very, very thin crystals. And yet I do have the other kind where they're kind of chunky and misshapen. Yes, I have those too. But the really thin ones are simply so easy to slip into the earth.
Yes, unfortunately, though, when you plant them on the beach, people can cut their feet.
I don't do it there.
I know.
Mike, did you cut your foot?
I just want to offer a word of caution. I like to put a crystal when I plant a tree.
Yes,
and the problem is that you don't want to do it for everything, because it just seems that that tree just grows so much bigger and faster, and you want to have this special piece of landscaping, and then all of a sudden you've got to start saying, oh my gosh, it's overtaking the yard. So you want to use caution where when you're planting a tree with a crystal under it, that it will grow very well. I mean, if you put your intent to it, and my intent is not only to link with the crystal web, but to also serve as an energy source for that tree or that bush, and it happens. So just be careful. If you want a dwarf little tree next to your house, you might not want to put a crystal underneath of it, unless you maybe a little sliver crystal. I don't know, but just some thought, and I didn't realize that when I first started planting. I can't put a crystal under every bush or tree I plant, because it'd be a forest. But I really have seen the very first Yule that we had here in Georgia, and we had a live tree, and we put it, well, we went overboard and put a lot of crystals under that tree, and it is so huge, it's actually had to be cut back a couple times so we could get through the gate into the side yard. So just, you know, but it's there again. It's the intent that goes into it, and the manifestation that you see. You see it almost immediately, but then it just continues to be a living manifestation of where that crystal is.
And when something is linked into the web, there is a lot of energy moving through that access point. And energy does affect things that way. It will make things grow better. It will affect things.
Wonderful.
So, Marianne.
Yes, Don.
My mystic gems. Tell us about my mystic gems.
I think everybody knows about my mystic gems, don't you? But when you said, do you take crystals on vacation, I was going to ask you what a vacation was, because I don't have a vacation. I spend all my time making jewelry, it seems like. That's what I do. That's my hat that I wear all the time now. And I'm just trying to make a living at something I really love. So that's what my mystic gems is. And if you want to talk to me about doing something special, you can always contact me through one of my websites, and I do give discounts to Witch School students. So,
and I would like to encourage everyone to check out Marianne's jewelry. I have a few pieces that
Absolutely beautiful.
And yes, they are just beautiful.
Thank you.
You really are, and in a sense, you're creating an above-ground crystal web.
You
know,
there you go. I'd like to see a crystal everybody's chest, so to speak.
Yes, indeed.
And you do find you have pieces that are very unusual and hard to find.
I like to hunt for stuff like that. Yeah, I spend a lot of my time hunting for stuff that's different. So. Yeah, I think that's probably something I enjoy doing, is offering up something that maybe you can't find anyplace else.
Wonderful.
So, mymysticgem.com.
And very reasonably priced.
I just put up a new website, so it's nice and clean and fresh, and I do have a Gemstones property page that you can check out. Properties of gemstones there. And if you have any that I haven't put up there, you can always let me know so I can add it to my list.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
And
well,
we appreciate your joining us this evening and all the wonderful things you do.
I
have done so many years.
On the great web page and try and share some of the different kinds of stones that I come across on that page too.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, you just posted one that I think so many people didn't even know existed.
Was that the new mind?
It was a few days ago. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That one was one I found, maybe a couple of years ago. It's from Greenland. And, yeah, it's kind of like muted, but it has all these nice little tiny flashes of luminescence in it. So it's kind of an interesting stone. And it's really old. It's, I don't know, like millions of years old, if not billions of years old. I forget how old it is. And they have to go only in the summer and get it because in the winter it's too dangerous to go. And it's like out in the middle of nowhere. And, well, Greenland's already out in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it's even farther out in the middle of nowhere. And but yeah, it's kind of an interesting and rare stone.
Yes, it was beautiful. So just one more question. Ed, you had mentioned that not only are you putting in quartz, but also amethyst and citrine, so people can use other gemstones to connect with the web?
Oh, there are literally dozens of types of crystals. They all have. So Marianne's been a big help on this too. If you tune a crystal and tune it, it has properties. So why not? We have added these to the crystal webs. There have been wands that we've added. We use them in ritual wands. So all the wands that we use are part of the crystal web. So that's another way to tap into it. So why not? Yeah. So using a diversity of crystals and stones that quartz crystals are the background because of the way the properties work. Amethyst is quartz. There's a number of other quartz. So quartz is the dominant piece because we know it has electromagnetic energy. And in fact, so the next thing I'm adding to the crystal web, since you've asked, is this Halloween. I'm doing a show this year. I'm actually going back to reading tarot. I'm going to be reading the Unlimited Tarot. I'm going to be reading a new type of tarot deck that Don and I have been working on for years, almost as long as the crystal web. And I'm building a new generator. I'm going to add actually magnets, and I'm going to be adding a lot of different things. I'm actually building a new generator for the crystal web. And this one's actually going to generate electricity as well as this one's going to be electricity. It's going to be based on radio crystals. This is going to be the most complicated piece. I'm going to try to put it together through a series of rituals that I will carry out in October. So that's my next piece. And if it works, I want to generate energy. I want a sort of physical generation of energy. We'll see. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I'm talking, got magnets coming in, so I'm adding that. So if we begin, so let us end where we begin. So people ask me, how did you start the crystal web? And simply the answer is, I simply put a crystal in the ground as a sacrifice. As where I wanted to begin, and said, I wish to be a higher person, a better person. I wanted to understand what was my purpose. And we talk about gifts, and the crystal web found a gift. And remember, I've said all along, what was that gift that God gave? What was my gift? And all my gift is to tell people, no, God gave me the permission to tell people, it's okay, let's try it. I got the ability to talk people into doing things they didn't believe was possible. So my gift in life is to make people talk people into doing things they didn't think is possible. That's been my gift. That's the crystal web. The crystal web is a manifestation of God's will through me, Goddess's will through me, that people will carry out positive actions. They will do things that they don't believe in if you just believe in them. So I believed in Don. I believed in Carillion. I believed in people, and I taught them, told them that they can do, and God gave me the gift to get them to do things they wouldn't believe possible. And all the time, I get people to do what they don't think they can possibly do. Right, Stephanie?
Maybe.
Yes.
So, yes, Ed.
It wasn't me this time.
No. But when it's God's gift,
I didn't put you on
right?
the spot this time. Ed did it.
But Stephanie, no. No, Stephanie did something very important for me. Don't understand, this is never a one-way street.
Right.
Stephanie accepted me. At that moment, when she did what I asked her to do, the most important thing, that she accepted me, somebody who never even knew who I was, who was of high skill and of high intellect and high intelligence, decided that they were going to champion my ideas, as well as their own, and stand before the world naked and alone, how could that not restore my personal faith? How could that not build my faith?
That's beautiful.
It's the truth.
We were actually wearing very nice robes at the time. But the theory is the whole.
I've seen most of the robes. I believe that.
Yeah, beautiful. They did a great job. And all of it was manifest well. And the crystal web is a part of that manifest well. So when you talk
beautiful.
About this, that's what the crystal web is, manifest well. And so when you ask me what crystals can you put into it, when you ask me what should you add to it, what overlays should you add, what jewelry should you add, what should you do next with it, I tell you it began in the same place. The only place you can answer that is the only real place you've got. Your imagination. So when you ask me,
right.
What can you add to the crystal web? What's in your imagination? What do you think you can't do? And we'll support you doing it. That's the message of the crystal web.
That's a beautiful message.
I know, isn't it? It is,
because now you listen to it being explained in a totally different way.
You make me want to run out in the backyard right now and start planting crystal.
It's true. See, because Ed has a habit of doing that.
Yes.
He's
definitely
right.
A motivator. And thank you, Ed, by the way. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, blessings, Ed. What was that? I did you all a do.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
Ed, thank you so much.
Having everyone on here tonight.
Yes.
It's actually been a very, very, very good show. Very good hour and some minutes.
Yes.
It's been a very long time since I've been on the radio. So.
Oh, it was so nice
well, you know,
to
if you'd
hear
like
you,
to change,
Marianne.
Thank you. Yeah, I was
We're
trying to remember
having,
when
happy
Ed
to have
and I
you on.
Oh, and it was a long time ago. Several years ago. Anyway.
Marianne Mondays.
Huh? Yeah, that's
Marianne
right.
Mondays.
Well, Marianne,
and Marianne is absolutely the
first
best administrator. I'm sorry.
You used to mentor first degree in 2008, right?
I used to do what?
Did you mentor first degree in 2008?
I did not. I've never been a mentor.
Did everything else, though.
I was just going to say that. The best administrator I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's a dirty job, but somebody had to do it.
There you go.
And you lost the bet.
Thank you all for having me.
You lost the bet, yeah.
Yeah. And I will bid you a good night as well.
Good night, Marianne.
Thank you for joining us, Marianne.
Thank
you.
Have
a great night.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mike and Steph.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting.
Thank you so much.
And we will look forward to talking to you again. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Lori, for co-hosting.
Oh, you're so welcome. My pleasure.
And we want to wish everyone a wonderful night. And until next time, may you blessed be.
Blessed be, everyone.
Y'all.